I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
He warns them, the jobs, the resources, the opportunities have already gone to the 40,000 migrants who came to Denver before them. Denver tells these families that have sometimes walked from one continent to another that they just have to keep moving. But they don't have to walk. Denver will buy them a bus ticket.
Just keep on going. We'll provide you a bus ticket to get you out of Denver. Whoa, wait a minute. Denver is a sanctuary city, don't you know? They got enough. They don't want any more illegals. So now they've devised inside the Denver mayor's office this newcomer, Denver newcomer greeter, who basically says, glad to see you. Get on the bus. You can go anywhere you want. Anywhere but in our state, just keep on moving. You don't have to walk there. We will give you a bus ticket. The House of Cards is indeed collapsing. I'm going to break it down for you in more detail. First of all, glad to have you join us here on April Fool's Day, my favorite day. I feel somewhat intelligent on this day. Well, somewhat. But we're here every Monday through Friday for you. From 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we're also putting up a live stream. You can watch. You can watch the video. You can go to News Talk STL Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. You can go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. And, of course, if you miss anything, you can go to our podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. And may I stress to you, if you missed the first hour, where we spent a lot of time over Transgender Visibility Day being announced by the White House for March 31st, which was yesterday, Sunday, Easter Sunday, the High Holy Day for Christians, we spent a lot of time on that story in numerous segments, so you really need to go back and pull it up. And I would encourage you to share that. Share it with others you know. There's some things in there that I had to admit in the previous hour that I did not know. But there are also some founding and fundamental principles that I would not ignore, and certainly when it comes to my relationship with the Lord. But you listen to it, and you decide what you think based upon that, because I know many were very angry that it hit on that day. All right, so we know the immigration issue, despite Alejandro Mayorkas claiming it's all under control. As you know, the House has sent a letter to Chuck Schumer in the Senate announcing that the House did vote to impeach Mayorkas. High crimes and misdemeanors, basically ignoring his oath of office to protect our country. Congress will return April 10. And then Chuck Schumer has some options in front of him with that declaration of an impeachment from the House. That is just an impeachment from the House is nothing more than an indictment. You go to the jury, in this case the Senate, to decide if he should be impeached. But Schumer has options. One, he can just dismiss it out of hand. Two, he can send it to a committee and let them slowly let it swing in the wind till it is no more. Or he could go ahead and set up a public hearing for the whole public to see and maybe use it as a way to make the Democrats look stronger. I don't think it would. If he wants to do it, I'd love to see that. And, of course, you're not going to get Mayorkas impeached because there are not enough votes in the Senate even to do it. You're not going to get the votes you need. Even if it were just a vote by one, And if it's a tie vote, you know who has the deciding vote in the Senate? That would be Vice President Harris. So there would be no impeachment. So some are saying, well, it'd just be a waste of time, taxpayers' money, and everything else. Maybe. But we're talking about accountability. Accountability. And it needs to be brought out. Because here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to smear and slur and slander Donald Trump and any of his supporters, or even those who maybe are on the fence, they're not sure, but now they're being driven to his side because they keep seeing all these trials, these persecutions of Trump. They realize that's not right, and if it can happen to him, it can happen to me. You're absolutely correct. They've already weaponized under this administration, and actually Obama was part of it as well because he was aware while the so-called Russian collusion inquiry was underway. He was told by then CIA director, he and Biden vice president and Attorney General Lynch and then FBI Director Comey were all told, this is not Russian propaganda. This is something Hillary Clinton and the Democrat National Committee paid and bought and presented it as Russian collusion. And yet the so-called mainstream, or as I call them, state-controlled media, ignored the story, never reported. There was no Hunter Biden laptop. And if it were, it was filled with Russian propaganda. But it was 18 months after the election, 18 months after, that the New York Times admitted, oh, you know that laptop thing? Yeah, that was true. It did exist. And this is after the election. Some have said if we had known that was a fact and wasn't kept hidden from us by our own government prior to the election, we might not have voted for Biden. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that would have changed the election. But don't you as a voter deserve to have all the facts? All the facts? Then you make up your mind. And just as we were looking at with Hillary and Trump, and then when Hillary and then Trump and Biden faced off, and now apparently going to face off again, I cannot understand anyone, if they have any molecule of a brain, still on a survey say, well, I don't know. I don't know who to choose. I'm lost. That you are. You're lost. And sanctuary cities are breaking apart. They're overflowing. They are angering their own citizens, the ones who put the leaders in charge in sanctuary cities. They are angry. And in particular, another example would be Chicago, where they're going to hold the Democrat convention. Somewhere along the line, they thought when they set it up, this would be a great idea. Do it in Chicago. That's the home of Obama and Michelle, and maybe they'll, you know, we're going to have them show up. It's going to be a great homecoming. But in the meantime, we got a lot of illegals here, so we're going to have to move people out of places, or we're going to send up temporary shelters in some of the poor neighborhoods. Oh, they don't want it? Well, that's tough. That's where they're going to go. And a lot of those who might have been voting Democrat have said, not going to do it this time. For that very reason. But in Denver, when they've already decided they've got a newcomer greeter that meets them, says, hey, you got here too late, all the ice cream's gone, but we'll give you a bus ticket to go up to D.C. where Biden might have something for you. Anywhere but here. That's today. I want to take you back in time to 2022, September 2022, an NBC report. This is 2022, September. Here's the way it reads. The arrival of thousands of migrants in New York, Washington, Chicago, and beyond has sent officials in these cities scrambling to find a system of support services with mixed success. In New York, the Asylum Seeker Resource Navigation Center, good God, I didn't even know they had one, but apparently it's not worth anything either. The Asylum Seeker Resource Navigation Center aims to provide assistance, including school enrollment. There's another crisis point. In your schools, you think your kids aren't getting good education? They're going to get less of an education with more illegals coming in who don't even speak the language. I can't fault the kids. They were dragged over here, and maybe they will become great producing American citizens. And I would imagine if I were suddenly dropped off in France as a grade schooler, I'd be totally lost. It means the teacher has to spend more time with me because I don't understand the language. Probably put me in the corner with a dunce cap on, which wouldn't be the first time. Oh, that's another story. But the Office of Migrant Services in D.C., again, according to NBC News in September 2022, will offer urgent medical care and connections to resettlement services. Medical care, there's another issue. How many Americans are being denied adequate medical care, and the money that could help them is going to illegals? Then they make reference in Illinois, the governor issuing put me in the corner of the dunce cap. In Illinois, the governor issued a disaster proclamation to, quote, unlock resources to assist asylum seekers. Why don't you unlock it for American citizens, governor? They continue the third paragraph of this NBC report from September 2022. But as the buses keep arriving, advocates and volunteers said the need for even more support is increasingly clear, and asylum seekers, they're not all asylum seekers, are falling through the holes of an already stretched social safety net. You know who else is falling through those holes? Americans. Americans who use that same social safety net. But all the resources are being taken up by illegals. So in Denver, they've recognized that, said, we can't handle any more here. We're stretched to the limit. Give them a chance to get on a bus and go elsewhere. Well, how are you going to do that? What are you going to tell them? First of all, you got here too late. Sorry. Jobs are taken. Everything's used. Nothing here for you. Just keep moving. But you won't have to walk. We'll get you a bus. Because they know on the bus, they can get them several hundred miles away quickly. Those who are asylum cities and states, you remember how much of a noise they made when Trump was in office and talking about we need to start shutting off federal dollars to any city or state declaring itself a sanctuary? And they were shouting, how dare you? How dare you treat these poor people like this? And now what are they doing? They're taking those poor people and shuttling them out of their own city to some other poor city. They're putting them on a train to nowhere, really. But, of course, the heartbreaking part still is the children. Even if they're brought here by a family that hopes to make a good living and would do right, the children are being used as pawns. And that would be the least of the concerns if they're also being used by pedophiles. And for all the need for more housing, especially for families, to give them somewhere secure in place, I have yet to see massive, even small numbers of leftist, progressive, strike that, regressives, opening up their homes saying, we will shelter as many as we can here. They're not doing it. And you recall what happened when DeSantis flew a plane load up to Martha's Vineyard. 40 in Martha's Vineyard, and they're suddenly declaring, we have a disaster here. Every summer they handle hundreds, thousands upon thousands at Martha's Vineyard. All right, we know, of course, the hearings have been underway, and they will resume regarding Joe Biden, his connections to his son, Hunter. PBS did a report on Hunter and his tax issues, and it's still there.
In the day's other headlines, Hunter Biden asked a federal judge in Los Angeles to dismiss tax evasion charges against him. Prosecutors say the president's son failed to pay $1.4 million in taxes. His lawyers say the case is politically motivated, forced by pressure from Republicans. The trial is tentatively scheduled for June.
So you don't pay $1.4 million in taxes, and you want to claim that's politically motivated to prosecute me. And Republicans aren't prosecuting him for that. That would be the IRS. Now, if you don't pay $1.4 million in taxes, I would tell you right now, they're going to come after you, and it won't make any difference. Your politics, unless you're related to the Biden family, maybe. Reminding you, he was indicted on 9 tax charges in California. 9. And, of course, now we have the inquiries underway leading up to the 2024 election in the House. The committee's inquiring and testimony, getting testimony. And I'll remind you, back in December, these new charges that were filed in December, 3 felonies, 6 misdemeanors, in addition to that federal firearms charge that's still there in Delaware, they came after that plea deal, that sweetheart deal he had worked out, he and his attorneys, where he was going to plead to a lesser crime and take the $1.4 million that he was owed. He'll get somebody to pay it for him, and the gun charge would just kind of be dismissed, put aside. But to her credit, the judge said, are there additional charges pending against him, investigations? And as much as the Hunter Biden lawyers might have liked to have told her no, they could not do that under threat of perjury, so they had to admit it. And he had made millions of dollars, according to Special Counsel David Weiss, in his lifestyle, but rather than paying any of it to his tax bills, he continued to spend it on, oh, I don't know, important things. Coke. I do not mean as in pop or soda, Coca-Cola. And they want you to now believe, according to the Democrats, going after Hunter or Joe Biden, that's political persecution. Well, they would know the name of that game because they've been practicing it on Trump since the beginning. And they're not letting up either. If this trial does happen June, July for Hunter, more than likely he will be convicted if it's carried out properly. But then the appeal process, and they'll probably try to get through the November elections. Everybody's making a big deal of how Trump keeps trying to stall on some of his cases to get past the election. And yet I think he's got better arguments than Hunter does here. How much would it affect the election and Joe Biden's chances if his son is convicted prior to November? We'll just see how it plays out. All right, this last Sunday, I do hope you had a most blessed Easter and took time to note that it's not just Easter Bunny and searching for Easter eggs. It's much more than that. But it also fell on March 31st this year. And March 31st has been recognized for 15 plus years as National Transgender Visibility Day. International, actually. And therein lies an issue. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very exciting what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local?
Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019-941 and newstalkstl.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out his fuse out of here.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, if you are one of the faithful, you're in good company. There are a lot of people celebrating holidays, Christians, Jews, Muslims, all the holy days happening at the same time. The rare religious overlap, it's not going to happen again for at least another 32 years. But today, Christians worldwide are observing Good Friday as the day Jesus Christ was crucified. On Sunday, they will celebrate Easter and Resurrection Day, the day he rose from the dead. Jews are celebrating, marking Passover, the biblical story of a mass exodus from slavery in Egypt and their protection, their supernatural and divine protection during that time. Muslims are observing Ramadan. It's a holy month focused on fasting, prayer, reflection, and community.
That is a report from News Nation last Friday about how this coming weekend, at that point, last Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, was an overlap, a rare holiday crossover where all three religions, major religions, were all celebrating whatever was important to them. Obviously, Easter Sunday, the most important for Christians, he is risen. And for Jews, of course, celebrating Passover. And for Muslims, they were in the midst of Ramadan. But for all three of them to fall on that particular day, this Sunday, there's where the issue began. Because the White House made a point to issue a statement that March 31st, they didn't say Easter, they said March 31st is Transgender Visibility Day. March 31st has been designated that since 2009. It was started by a woman who felt that we need to have a time to recognize transgenders, and she was dealing with, at that point, numerous transgender women had been stabbed or attacked at various times. So this particular woman, Rachel Crandall Crocker, created International Transgender Day of Visibility. She put up a Facebook post encouraging others to do it, and of course then it multiplies. I will admit to you, I missed that somewhere along the way. I never knew there was a March 31 Transgender Day. Or if I did, I just didn't pay attention to it because it doesn't involve me. Now, if you put up a May 31st Larry Connors Jack Daniels birthday party, I'll take note of that right away. But this one just got by me. Yeah, I have a birthday coming up. I think doing my quick ciphering here, I should be just pretty close to 66, I think. Not saying which way I'd be close. But in 2009, she started this up. Now, she is a psychotherapist and thought, if I create this, it will be a chance to basically be a chance to recognize transgender separately. And they are moving it away from. She made it clear she did not want to have it in Pride Month of June. Didn't want a conflict with that. And she also didn't want a conflict in November with Transgender Day of Remembrance to honor transgender homicide victims. That was something else that was created somewhere along the line. I missed it. But millions of those now recognize March 31 as a day to celebrate transgender people worldwide. Skyscrapers across the nation and nations often are lit in transgender colors, pride colors. But this year, again, falling on Sunday, for many, as they heard about it, they looked like Biden himself had declared Easter as Transgender Day of Visibility. And Speaker Johnson complained about it and immediately got pushback from the White House saying he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's uninformed. To that extent, I think that's probably correct. He's uninformed just as I was. I did not know there was a March 31st Transgender Day. But the point being made, if you knew it was going to fall on Sunday, did you really have to make a big deal out of it? It's always been March 31, fine. Let it go. Just slide past it. But every 30-plus years, the dates will coincide with Easter. And the question I had in the back of my mind and have discussed in the previous hour as well, again, if you missed that hour, I really encourage you to pull it up. And the response from the pastor we had on, leading missions, about if it had been the start of Ramadan, the most holy holiday period for Muslims, if it had started March 31, would the White House have made such a big deal out of it? Or would they have just, let's don't disturb the Muslim population. Let's just slide by. Well, of course, once they put it out on official White House statement that March 31 is Transgender Day, immediately we had many upset and angry. And I think rightly so, regardless if they did it intentionally or by stupidity. But I'm looking at a couple of responses, one from a rabbi and one from a Catholic priest. And the rabbi said the chaos of the world is we're living in. We need spiritual principles, faith rebuilding our humanity. Talking about how Passover is so important. And then the priest pointing out, yes, there is strife in the world, but Jesus told us to find the good heartness to forgive people. That's where peace can grow. So some do say that, well, even if it were Transgender Day and it fell on Easter, isn't that what God, Jesus, is all about? Forgiveness and love. Yes, that's true. But as a pastor adequately, more than adequately pointed out in the previous interview, he's also about justice. And just because you love your fellow man, and you look at your own family for this, just because you love your brother, sister, child, spouse, doesn't mean you endorse everything they do. More than likely, you don't. The stories that were beginning to circulate across the nation then were just folks angry to no extent. And it did not help the fact that Friday, Good Friday, the day of Christ's crucifixion, Biden gathered with Clinton and Obama for a big fundraiser, Radio City Music Hall. And they scheduled it on Good Friday. That in itself did irk me, but they're entitled to do that. But the other part of the story is that on that same day, at that same time, around that same time, there was a funeral in Long Island for a New York police cop who'd been killed. Donald Trump went to the funeral home to honor the slain officer. Now, some will say he did it for political purposes. Well, I can tell you this, and he's right when he said that Biden's pack, his crowd, his supporters, would not allow him to do it because they don't back the police. And Trump does that anyway. He also pointed out they didn't even, the White House didn't even make a call to the family. Not sure they would have accepted it, but didn't even try to reach the widow. Governor Hochul did show up at the funeral, the burial site. Was only there for 10 minutes or less until people told her, go, you're not welcome. You're not welcome. It's your laws that allowed something like this to happen, because this police officer was doing a, quote, routine traffic stop. There is no such thing as a routine traffic stop, but all he was doing is stopping a guy during a traffic stop, and the guy had a checkered past with law, and he decided he was going to kill the officer, and he did. And, of course, Trump also used that as another reason to say Democrat-run cities are being destroyed by illegals, which, in fact, they are. I got something else I want to add on that before we wrap up this hour, particularly the response of a congressional candidate and a Michigan woman who has been, was, according to the police charges, killed by another illegal. And the Michigan Republican congressional candidate has some remarks about how the establishment media is reacting to the woman's death. I'll have that coming up for you. And also, a new survey out about voters, young voters, about how they look at Donald Trump against Biden. Biden's thought is, I can attract all the young kids, you know? Kind of like a grandpa. Come on, come on, come on. I don't think so. And these numbers might reinforce that. We're still a long way from the election, though. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Make plans now to be at Lit Cigar Lounge this month. Lit is hosting numerous events. That includes live music. And there's an easy way to check on what is happening and when. You simply go to Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. By the way, to go to Lit, you don't have to be a member. Everyone is welcome. Just another reason that Lit won Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge on Facebook.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
A few more notes on this Transgender Visibility Day and the way it coincided with Easter. Again, this happens about every 30 years. March 31 is internationally recognized now as Transgender Day of Visibility. And this time it fell on Easter, and it will happen again in 30-plus years. But the White House continues to double down on this. Jean-Pierre. You're right. Karine Jean-Pierre sent out a tweet over the weekend as well, stating, on Transgender Day of Visibility, the Biden-Harris administration honors the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgender Americans and reaffirms our nation's commitment to forming a more perfect union where all people are treated equally. Unless you're a Christian or Jewish. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I saw those words there. Those words are not there. My bad. She just said, we're all people are treated equally. But some not as much. No, again, I have a bad habit lately. I tend to add words. I add the meaning that they really have, but they're hiding most of the time. And before we leave this particular subject, you would think companies that have gone woke, going broke and losing so much and threats and everything, backing down, backing away. Disney dropped its lawsuit against DeSantis over the so-called banning of books, which never did happen. They were not banning books, just not letting them be in public school libraries for certain ages. And the so-called Don't Say Gay bill, which never was Don't Say Gay, doesn't say it one time in it. They've all backed away from it. They're losing so much money, and they're losing not only that, but tourists. They've got to regroup, and yet they're not, They're still pushing it. And here's another company that has a chance to just simply ignore it. Just don't make a big deal. Let it slide. But it's this time a chance to put it right in the face of your kids. Your kids. How many of you have children who watch Cartoon Network? You think you're going to be seeing basic cartoons? Well, it's not the old Woody Woodpecker, not even the Three Stooges, which often would have pretty violent stuff happening, poking each other in the eyes, things of that nature, which would be harmful when children duplicated it. I don't know that many children really did. But probably the most salacious cartoon that was on the air back then was Betty Boop, 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 Boop. Oh, yeah, she was. They had some imagination with Betty Boop. A lot of young boys, yeah, I'm speaking of experience, took a high interest in Betty Boop. But Cartoon Network, which caters to children and young viewers, obviously, had to publicly voice its support for Transgender Day of Visibility. In an Instagram post, the network offered praise for what it called its, quote, transgender and gender nonconforming family. The Warner Brothers Discovery On Network, may I repeat it again if you have stock there, the Warner Brothers Discovery On Network also had blunt words for anyone who dares mount a criticism, labeling any such dissent as hate, because you don't want your children to be subjected to something like that. You're considered filled with hate. Not love of your children, but hate. The network stated, we're not doing hate today. Be kind or be blocked. Block me. Go ahead. By the way, there's some blocky camping in Israel. The Israeli government passed a law today paving the way to at least temporarily shut down Al Jazeera Network. It's a Qatar-funded news organization that often attacks Israel, serves as a mouthpiece for the Palestinian, the PLO organization, basically Hamas now. The law passed the Knesset in its second and third reading, according to the Times of Israel, so orders to shut down foreign news networks deemed a national security threat can only be carried out for 45 days, but can be renewed for an additional 45-day period. The law is currently set to expire July 31, but I would think there's going to be another passage and extend it again. Israel and the U.S. are critical of Al Jazeera's coverage of Israel broadly. That's the way it's written here in this piece. Who's writing this piece? Oh, it's the Hill publication. That's why it said that the U.S. is also critical of Al Jazeera's coverage. The Hill leans left. I do not see a lot of the U.S. being critical of Al Jazeera coverage. I do see where they quote Secretary of State Antony Blinken calling for the Qatar government, put it that way, to tone down anti-Israeli incitement in Algeria's coverage of the aftermath of October 7. I don't see that really nailing it down and making it clear. We don't want that kind of anti-Semitic stuff being pushed around. It's okay to do hate if it's anti-Semitic. Not so much if it's anti-transgender. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre today said, "We've seen the reports, and certainly I'm going to refer to Israel for what they may or not be considering. But if true, a move like this is concerning." And stand back. Her next lines are coming. Her next lines are coming. You do not know how big this is going to get. If you're standing too close to the radio or our app, you might need to step away a bit. She says, and I'm quoting her, "We, the collective we of the Biden White House and all the regressive progressives around them, we believe in the freedom of the press." Ha! I told you it was going to be big. They don't believe in freedom of the press. Unless you're talking about getting your pants pressed. She said, "The freedom of the press is critical, critically important." They don't believe it. They just sell the story. In the meantime, there's been talk about how well Biden is going to do this time around, especially among young people. Well, back in 2020, when asked by Gallup if the economy was a top concern dealing with those 18 to 34, only 11% said yes. The economy is a big concern of mine. They're 18 and 29 years of age at that point, instead of 18 to 34. 11% said yes. Those aged 30 to 49, 18% said yes. And that was during the coronavirus pandemic of that survey. Today, those numbers have exploded. According to the Gallup survey, 47% of those age 18 to 29 cite the economy as a top concern. So they went from 18% to 47%. Your ciphering is as good as mine. That's a 40% jump. And if they are age 30 to 49 when it had 18%, let me correct this. I misread it. I looked down wrong. The 18 to 29 in 2020 that said the economy was concerned was 11%. Now it's 47%. So 36% more say, yeah, we're concerned about it in that age group, 18 to 29. Then you look at 30 to 49, 18% in 2020 said they were concerned about it, top concern, 18%, now 43%, twice as many. Bloomberg reports the concern is being reflected in surveys. Trump is currently leading the president, 47% to 40% with voters 18 to 34. 47 to 40, Trump leads. 18 to 34, and that's in swing states. And, of course, economic concerns, it goes right back to originally that campaign, follow the money, stupid. A lot of folks are now following the money or what they've got left of it, in addition to the illegal issues. Which brings us to our last segment, and we're going to end this segment pretty much with how we started today's program.
I want you to get mad.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
And that got repeated over and over again in that movie titled Network in 1967. And as the anchor suddenly jumped forward and started saying, I'm mad as hell. It was 1976. I said 67. But as he repeated it over and over again, you were seeing pictures of people leaning out their window balconies and so forth, shouting, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Americans are at that point on both sides, I will agree, politically, and for different reasons. But overall, I think the majority, that would include Democrats, who are not, quote, regressive progressive, that would include thinking-minded, common-sense Democrats who realize this country is coming apart at the seams if we keep doing as we're doing, letting anyone unvetted come into our country and do what they want. And you've got the state-controlled, you want to call them mainstream media, go ahead. I say state-controlled media carrying the water for them to continue to help erode, rot, corrupt our nation. There's a Michigan Congresswoman, Elisa Slotkin, running for Senate. She's a House member currently. A Michigan Republican going against her, Tom Barrett, is fighting for the position. He said he's running for the seat she's leaving. He said, we get in, we're going to reverse the Biden policies, finally bring about some sanity in our country. And then he started dealing with the immigration issue. There's a 25-year-old citizen of Mexico facing life in prison in relating to a death of a woman in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Young woman killed just last week. She is charged, or rather, the killer is charged with killing her, and he is an illegal. He was originally caught under the Trump administration, deported, reentered our country. How many times are we going to hear these kinds of stories? And Tom Barrett says this is something that is happening in America. We cannot allow it to happen, to take place, and continue. Joe Biden's allowing nearly 9 million, and that's a conservative number, by the way, 9 million illegal borders crossing into our country, almost the entire state of Michigan population. And then he took to task, even though this guy is now arraigned on numerous charges, in addition to killing the young woman, but because he is illegal, had been deported under Trump and came back, the Detroit News stated, and of course that's a leftist organization right there, the Detroit News, asserted, here it is, aha, aha, this is the crime Republicans were looking for. What? So Tom Barrett, running for Congress in Michigan, said, the Detroit News said that this was the crime Republicans were seeking. We didn't want to bring this about. We're not seeking it. For us to call out this failure is entirely appropriate. And yet the Detroit News and the rest of the media want to say it's something we wanted to see happen. He said the media and the way they characterize this shows their bias and their intent. They never want to hold those responsible accountable for their behaviors. Amen and amen. But they dare say that Republicans are happy that this young woman was raped and killed by this guy deported under Trump and who got back into the country. I'm not. I'm not happy. I'm not happy he got back, and I'm certainly not happy for what happened to her. And there are cases like this all over the nation. Some we're hearing about today, some we'll hear about tomorrow, and some down the road. And at some point, some of them might affect you and your family directly. I pray not. But there will be those who will be suffering, holding graveside services. As always, I appreciate your listening. I do want to remind you, following us Monday through Friday at 8 o'clock, the Rob Carter Show. Rob Carter will be coming up, and please spread the word about Larry Connors USA, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.